You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 149. If you're still working in a job and have been trying to find the courage to take the leap of faith and start your own business or go solo as a freelancer, you're going to love today's episode. So let's dig in.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hello there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's your host, Melanie Benson, profit amplifier for expertpreneurs just like you. And I'm also the host of the Own Your Bold Influence Challenge, which is starting November 4th. I cannot wait. If you have not yet gotten your free ticket, please head over and join us at ownyourboldchallenge.com. We have so many amazing things that happen in 5 days. You're going to learn how to create a bold influence goal that will propel your business and your success to a whole new level and make your marketing so much easier. Plus, I'm going to share my favorite influence strategies. These are platforms that are tried and true over the last 20 years and fine-tuned for all the changes in our marketplace that have happened over the last few years, as well as how to really accomplish massive growth in record time. It's all done in 5 days. I'm going to share my best tips. You're going to follow a process and you can win some pretty amazing resources along the way. Now, if you've taken the challenge before, I want you to join us again and be sure to upgrade to the VIP influence experience, because I have lined up some of my most favorite people on the planet to show you how to get more influential. They're going to solve some of the biggest challenges and problems that people in their own business get stuck around. So head on over to ownyourboldchallenge.com, and once you register, you'll find all the information out about the VIP experience. Now, let me introduce today's guest. If you have ever experienced job loss and feel like you were caught off guard, then you're going to love today's conversation with my guest, David Schreiner-Kahn. We're going to talk about how to build your own successful business after a late career job loss. So David is someone who was a highly skilled employee for 20 years and was told that his job was over just out of nowhere. And in spite of the immediate trauma and fear, he knew that as his next step, he'd rather work for himself and have more control over his destiny. That was back in 2006. Today, David Schreiner-Kahn is a thriving entrepreneur, podcaster, and speaker. He's the host of the really awesome podcast, Smashing the Plateau, which I was lucky enough to be a guest on. And he's guiding highly skilled professionals who are recovering from a late career job loss and who yearn to impact the world with their knowledge and their creativity by becoming successful entrepreneurs themselves. So David, I'm excited to talk with you about your new podcast today and what the inspiration was behind it and what you're, you know, what you've learned about creating a business after you've worked for so many years.
Well, thanks so much, Melanie. It's great to be here. You and I have connected in person as well. And it's great to be able to share what we're going to talk about today with your audience.
Well, I know this is going to relate to so many people. I know so many people that have had a very similar experience where they worked for someone else for many, many, many years, and then all of a sudden the job was just gone. I mean, me personally, I made a transition out of corporate America after working in it for almost 20 years. So that in itself was a very big pivot and a big mindset shift. So I think anybody who's had that change is going to relate to what you're talking about today. Yeah. You mentioned you had trauma. Talk us through a little bit about when you find out that the job that maybe you thought was going to be there forever is all of a sudden gone. What does that do in terms of trauma and creating, you know, this maybe disappointment and frustration?
Sure. So the reality is, for most of us, particularly those of us that are highly skilled professionals, there's an awful lot of our, to be quite blunt, our ego is caught up in what we do for a living, what people pay us for. Like one of the most common questions when you meet somebody new that they're going to ask you is, well, Melanie, what do you do? And if you're used to saying, I'm an accountant with Deloitte, or I am a, I'm an attorney with, and you can fill in the blank with the big name firm, or I'm a marketing director at, and you fill in the blank. The day after you get laid off, when you're not getting paid anymore, you can't say that. Right. So there are all kinds of ways in which job loss affects us really personally and deeply and emotionally. And when I started thinking about launching my new podcast, Going Solo, I started doing some research, particularly on what happens to people who lose jobs in the second half of their career, which is the point when they're probably at their highest salary. And in which if you can't get another job, or you don't want to get another job that's at equivalent compensation, chances are it's going to hurt you financially. There are a lot of ways in which the job loss are going to hurt you personally, emotionally, and quite deeply. And unless you actually go through it, you may not even realize what those are. So I've spoken to many people about this issue as I was preparing to launch Going Solo. And a number of people have talked to me about, and they've used the word trauma, they've used the word PTSD. I've had therapists who I've spoken to about it, who have talked about what happens to their clients when they go through it. And it can be a really deep emotional scar that you have to get over. And that's actually what I learned from my own personal experience when it happened to me, is that you really do need to deal with the trauma first before you can do anything else. There are a lot of people that say, okay, I've got to go out. I'm going to start a business instead. I don't want to work for anybody else anymore. I've got to go out and get clients day one. For most people, that's not so easy. It's you actually have to deal with the emotional stuff before you can start selling.
Okay, let's talk about this, because I think you were talking about something very few people acknowledge, and that is when you've had a trauma or you've got some kind of failure-related PTSD, which I can certainly relate to, there is emotional wounds that come in and can color your decision-making, right? So when you say we've got to deal with the emotional trauma that's been created, like what does that mean? And how does someone know that they're past it and are really ready to make some strong decisions about what's next?
Well, I'll share my own story. So in my case, you know, as you mentioned in the introduction, I had been an employee for 28 years. And in my last job, I was in my job for 18 years. That's a long time. I had always done well. This was not an issue of performance. I was well paid. I got good performance reviews. I was well liked by my colleagues, by my superiors, by people I served. There were changes in the organization where my services were no longer needed. And that's a pretty common scenario. And I saw the warning signs. Although, yes, I was shocked when it happened, I was shocked the day it happened, I saw the warning signs and I knew that I was going to have to make a change of some sort. The question was, what kind of change did I want to be proactive about? But still, the day that it happened, I was quite shocked. And it took me a while to be able to talk with other people in a way that that I would say showed the best about me and that I could feel good about. And that was not, it was not instantaneous. That took me quite a while.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is you kind of had to regain your own confidence about your skills and separate out, like, this wasn't about my performance. This was, the ego mind latches onto things. So I could see that we'd have to unravel some of that in order to make good decisions. And, you know, I'm really, really curious, why or how did you make the decision to go solo and create your own business versus go back the safe route and get a job? And I think this is really important for people who may be in this situation to hear.
Yeah, and by the way, I was in a situation where I probably could have gotten another job without too much difficulty. I've spoken with a number of people as part of my show going solo. And also I've worked with clients that are in situations where they really can't get another job. Mm. I have one person I'm thinking about in particular who had 30 years of experience as a high paid employee who was getting the first level interviews, but never got to that final interview where the senior person had to sign off on the job. And there was a story that he told me where he was walking into the building for that final interview one time and got a phone call that the interview had to be rescheduled. And guess what? It never got rescheduled.
Yeah.
So particularly for people when you get to be a certain age and a certain level of compensation, very often ageism combined with changes in the marketplace mean that you're just not going to get another job. So in my case, I could have. For a long time, I really wanted to have more control over my destiny and more control over what I did and who I served. Even though I was happy in my work, I did well. Some people really want more control and more input over their own structure. And I'm one of those people. So I probably could have made a great entrepreneur much earlier in my life. Yet I was brought up in a family where there were no entrepreneurs, there were no risk takers. I didn't know any entrepreneurs. It wasn't until I was probably in my maybe late 30s or 40s when I started getting to know some entrepreneurs and saw how they were doing what they were doing.
This is exactly what happened to me when I was in corporate. Part of the reason why I stayed there as long as I did, because I grew up with entrepreneurial parents and entrepreneurial grandparents, but it didn't really like click for me because I didn't know any entrepreneurs as an adult. And I think there is a very different mindset for entrepreneurs than there are for employees. And I'm really curious how you made that transition because, and I know it's something you talk about in your work is your mindset for success when you're an employee is totally different than your mindset of success as an entrepreneur. Can you talk to us about like some of those mindset shifts?
Yeah, they're huge. And mindset is really important. So one of the big differences is when you're an employee, somebody else sets the structure for your work. Somebody else sets the working hours. They set the expectations. There are very few jobs where you have a huge amount of flexibility just to deliver the end results. Usually somebody else is dictating a lot of the structure. And when you're an entrepreneur, if you want to be successful, because I know a lot of entrepreneurs or people who think about entrepreneurship think, oh, it's great, you have all this flexibility. Well, the reality is, yes, you do have flexibility. The flexibility is to choose the structure that you like. Yeah. If you're not structured, you're not going to succeed. It's that simple. So you're a podcaster, I'm a podcaster. We have talked to lots of entrepreneurs. I'm sure you know the same thing I know, which is successful entrepreneurs have a very strict routine. Very commonly, it's I get up really early in the morning. I do something spiritual to sort of get my spirit, my emotions, and my heart in the right place to succeed for the day. I do something physical to get my body in shape to succeed for the day. And then I spend time focusing on what's the most important thing that is going to be a game changer for my business. And it may be for an hour or 2 hours. And then I deal with everybody else's agenda, which is my email inbox, my phone messages, a to-do list, and the people who follow that kind of structure are way more successful than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And it takes a very strong mindset to be able to follow that structure every day, particularly when you think about employment versus entrepreneurship. As an employee, if you are wrong more than 10% of the time, you're probably going to be told you're not a good employee. As an entrepreneur, if you're right 10% of the time, you're probably doing really well.
I love that. That's so true. And I think this is one of the big adjustments that so many people have to make. And I think this is an adjustment for anybody who's going to create a business around their skill sets or their, body of knowledge, is you will not be right very often. Like you have to get used to failing often. And that translation to money can be very scary for people, right?
Right. It's like you talk to 10 people, and if you're lucky, one or two of them are interested in what you're selling.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that they actually are going to buy, just that they're interested.
Right. So how did you get over your fear of, you know, like, and as an employee, you know, we get a paycheck, right? Most of us can count on a paycheck. Some people are bonus structured, but most people are used to, okay, I do my work, I get paid. As an entrepreneur, you can do your work, do your work, do your work, do your work, and maybe get paid a little, right? Especially right. In the beginning. What advice would you have for someone to get past that fear of, I'm working really, really hard and it's not translating to income yet?
Well, there's a difference between it not translating into income yet, like you're at the very beginning and you're at zero,
yes,
versus you are some bit of time into your business and you're getting paid something, but it's not working out the way you want. Those are two different scenarios. The part about not getting paid yet, I think the easiest way to get over that is talk to people who are really close to you, who know you, who like you, who trust you, who respect you, and tell them, this is what I'm trying to do. These are the kinds of people I want to serve. Who do you know who needs this? Can you make an introduction? And also, as they make introductions, because they will, because they know you, they like you, and they trust you, as they make introductions, use them to also feel out what the person they're introducing you to is thinking and feeling about what it is you're offering in solving the problem. So as an example, if you're a personal organizer, somebody you know introduces you to somebody who has a successful business, but it's total chaos, and they would really benefit by you helping them, they would be way more organized. They would probably not make so many costly mistakes. They would probably increase their income. So you could be helpful. When you first make the introduction, if they've never heard of a personal organizer, it may take you a while till you convince them or you get some positive feedback that they really understand what you do and they're interested in trying something out. You can use the person who has introduced you to get some feedback and say, well, what did so-and-so think when I met? What do you think I might be able to tell them the next time we speak? Do you think I should reach out again? Do you think I should reach out by phone, by email, on social media? Should I text them? You know, those kinds of things. So you can use your referral source to help you land the first sale. And I think that's probably the easiest thing you can do. And you may try to sell different kinds of things to different people because you're not sure what's going to stick. It's based on relationships is the easiest way to get started. So that's getting started.
Is that what you did? Did you kind of go about that same process?
I did it. I can tell you because of my trauma and fear, I was not as proactive as I could have been with people who could refer business. And some of my business came in a much more haphazard way. It all came from people who knew me. There was one really good piece of business that came from somebody who was a mentor that I would meet with regularly, who really helped me a lot. Mm-hmm. And I didn't specifically ask him for referrals. I probably could have been more not aggressive, but more explicit about what I wanted. He was helpful anyway, and it turned into a lot of really good business. And then the other ones, which ended up being good longtime clients, came from people I knew more out of happenstance. Again, I was not structured about it. I wasn't as proactive as I could have been. I could have done better right away than I did.
Well, you know what I love about your story, David, and I really appreciate how honest and vulnerable and real you're keeping it, because I think a lot of people have this same experience. The fear and the trauma, you know, spins in their head, and they do very, you know, like they're not being resourceful is the word I'm looking for. So then they get so in their head about it, right? They convince themselves it's not going to work. And I think it creates a struggle mindset, and that struggle mindset then permeates their decisions, their behaviors, their strategy for years and years. So I really appreciate you saying like you broke free of it, and even though you were kind of spinning with some of that stuff, like you're now creating not just one successful business, but now you're building a second podcast and you're really, you know, you're kind of creating a subset of your Smashing the Plateau programs for people who are going solo. Like it's like you've turned that, I don't want to say mess, cause it's not really a mess, but you know, that saying, you know, you can turn your mess into a success. Like you were able to pivot that.
And Melanie, I have tried so many things since I launched my business 13 years ago that have not worked. Mm-hmm. I've tried all kinds of collaborations with strategic partners, and I've tried other kinds of content that haven't worked out so well. I've tried events, some of which have worked well and some of which haven't worked. I've tried different kinds of business models, different kinds of pricing. And you don't know what's not going to work until you try it.
And I love that you're saying it's okay to let go of the things that don't work. Like you don't have to hold on to them and try to make them perform. If it's not working, let it go and pivot to the next potential direction. And you know, you've found your groove now. Let's talk a little bit more, maybe give our listeners a couple of tangible actions they could take if they're going solo for whatever reason. Doesn't have to be because you've lost your job unexpectedly, but maybe you're just planning on going solo. What do you do to get this business off the ground?
Well, there are some things you can do that are relatively simple. One is you can make yourself a plan. I believe it's really important to have a written plan, but not a complicated strategic plan or business plan. I think 1 to 2 pages is best, so that it's simple and you can look at it regularly. And the things that I think are really important for you to have in your plan are, what is it you love doing most? What do you think you're most competent at doing? Who do you feel most compelled to serve, whether it's an individual or an organization or a field? What is it that when you think about that avatar of who you feel most compelled to serve, what is it that you think they most need that synthesizes with what you love doing and what you are most competent at doing? And then the most important thing you need to do next, so you write all these down. Next most important thing is, who can I ask to test my theory about what they need? And then when you start asking them, particularly as you get closer and closer to your target person, as you ask them, you are going to find out that either there are or there aren't potential customers. And you can also ask them questions about value and price, so you know whether or not it's going to be financially viable for you to offer what you're thinking about offering. And the reality is you can probably make a sale with one of those people when you're asking these questions.
I love this last, I mean, I love all of that, but this last step you just revealed about the value and viability is a misstep I think a lot of people make. Like they assume because they love the idea that everyone else will, but they haven't really tested out with their ideal audience. Is this something that, you know, you'd be willing to pay for? Like, are you going to see value in what I'm offering? And I think this is where a lot of people get stuck.
They get stuck and they spend time trying to create the offer before they try to sell it. You need to do it the other way around. Go through the steps I just mentioned, which is a little self-reflection and then some testing in your marketplace. Try to sell it and then produce it. As soon as you sell it, sell something small where somebody will actually give you money. Because you don't know, even if they say they're going to give you money, you don't actually know until the money is in your bank account.
Yeah.
So get a check. If they pay cash, get cash, get a credit card, and then produce what it is you say you are going to deliver to them.
Yeah. Money in hand is different than money in thought, right? Yes, I would pay for that. It's not the same as I have paid you for this.
Because you can't pay your bills with money in thought. You can only pay your bills with money in hand.
Exactly. I love it. Oh my gosh, there's so many nuggets of wisdom in here, but I want to hone into one more piece before we wrap up, and that's this idea of who do you really want to serve? And I know you have recently pivoted because you went deeper on this. Like, let's talk about what do you discover about yourself and what do you discover about your work when you challenge yourself to go deeper on that question?
So in my case, when I started my business, my clients were all organizations. So I was selling to companies. And what I discovered, particularly after I started my podcast, Smashing the Plateau, in 2014, is that I really like serving individuals. And many of the individuals that have gravitated to me have been clients and part of my audience are solopreneurs. And I also, when I dug deeper, I realized that like me, many of them became solopreneurs after a late career job loss. And I thought, okay. And this actually came about when you and I met in person at Steve Ulscher's New Media Summit last winter. It came about in a conversation over lunch with Steve. He said to me, well, who do you feel most compelled to serve? Who's do you like, what is it that you would love to be able to help them with? And the reality is, I love helping people who went through what I went through. And I, having gone through it, I see things that they don't see. So I can help make it shorter for them. I can help them avoid spending time and spending money that they don't have to spend. I can help them sell something that they really want to sell faster. And that ended up becoming the Going Solo podcast that I've just launched now. And when I started talking to people about the whole idea, I got tons of great feedback from people that there are so many people who go through this. And frankly, when I went through it, there wasn't a lot that I found that was really targeted at me. And as I've done some research around this whole topic, I think that there's, it's a huge population. I see it happening more and more. I see so many people struggling. And I'd love to be able to provide more resources for those that are dealing with this transition and could benefit from some additional resources, get a working business up faster, be able to have the kind of structure that they want in their lives sooner, be more profitable, have fewer expenses that they don't need to have, and just be happier.
Love it. It's perfect. So speaking of your new podcast, where can people listen to the new podcast? And I want to also say, make sure if you guys go and listen, that you rate and review the show for David, because it helps tremendously when you're launching a new podcast. So where can they find it?
So they can find it on Apple Podcasts and all the major podcast directories. They can go to our website. So our parent site, smashingtheplateau.com, has both podcasts, Smashing the Plateau and Going Solo, so they can go there. The URL for just Going Solo is goingsolo.smashingtheplateau.com.
Yeah, and I'll link that up for you all in the show notes, so it's easy to find. I love Smashing the Plateau, so I can't wait to catch up on all the episodes from Going Solo, because I know it'll be just as inspiring and really great content. Like, your podcasts have such great content. You always attract great guests. So, and are you going to be doing any solo episodes, or are you primarily going to be interviewing other people who've gone solo?
As of now, it's all interviews.
Okay.
And I can tell you, I have a lineup of guests who are sharing some tremendous stories.
I bet you do.
Really powerful, and I'm really honored that people are willing to share some experiences that that involve some personal trauma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to help others. It's I'm really touched by it.
Good. Well, I can't wait to listen to it. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'd like to wrap up by asking a question that ties into our Own Your Bold Influence challenges. And that is, what is the boldest move you've had to make? I think I know the answer, but I want to hear what you say.
So becoming an entrepreneur was a pretty bold move.
Yep.
The reality is, part of what gave me the courage to do that was the first time I had a major job loss, when I was 27, I made a career change. I was an engineer and I went into the nonprofit sector, and everybody I knew thought I was crazy. So I figured if I could do that when everybody's telling me I'm nuts and I was still able to pay the bills, I can become an entrepreneur and figure out how to pay the bills too.
Love it. Love it. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and inspiring all of us, especially the listeners who've been listening to this podcast, hoping for some inspiration to make the leap, or who have lost their job and are scrambling to pick up the pieces and figure out how to create a business. You've given us so much great wisdom on how to make that happen.
Thank you, Melanie.
This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at amplifyyoursuccesspodcast.com. And remember, you amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast.